The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to Swish and Flick, an All Potter podcast.
Swish and Flick, everyone. The Swish and Flick.
Hello and welcome to episode 301 of Swish and Flick. I'm Tiffany.
I'm Megan.
And I'm Katie.
And this episode is sponsored by Alex Ramstead Dosvik. Thanks, Alex.
Thank you, Alex.
Thank you. Today, we will be discussing part two of chapter one of Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows, The Dark Lord Ascending. So make sure that you have read that chapter and you're ready to plummet your way through the details.
Dark Lord Ascending sounds like an emo band.
It does, a little bit.
That's really good. That should be Wizard Rock. We also have someone special with us yet again. Please Hello. Welcome Carrie. And also Lori Kim is back. Did not mean you, but I think you
also don't want to be included.
Carrie slides you.
In. Hey. Carrie is a little red. It's okay. We love you.
No, it's all
you
good.
Are definitely
that was
welcome.
The best. That was right. The best.
So Lori Kim's back. Okay.
I am back.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, Lord.
The author of our lovely dubbed The Snape book.
Yes. Which is back. Also what I call it.
Oh, good.
I love that.
I'm glad that we're all on the same page there. So she's back to give us beautiful golden nuggets from her brain that we desperately need.
Brain nuggets.
These are brain nuggets.
Is that where those went? Okay.
Yeah, we're collecting them and keeping them for ourselves. But before we begin, let's go to Meg's Mouse Tales for weekly profit news.
I added stuff for you.
Oh, yes. Sorry. Okay, I'm actually going to start with those things.
Okay.
So, two little Swish news tidbits.
Nuggets,
yes.
Golden nuggets. Ding.
This is the start of a new house cup. So all the points in our Discord are at zero for all the houses. Today is a fresh start. I want to see Slytherin like jump ahead by 2,000 points by the end of this recording.
Please stop.
And just a reminder that Hufflepuff won the house cup last week for the first full like school year that we did, which is nuts.
Year.
Yeah, yeah.
And then also, when we were recording episode 300, I had every intention of doing giveaways for our lovely, lovely patrons on Discord, and I forgot. So that episode was also just like, you know, we just like talked a lot. We're starting a new book. There was a lot going on. I was distracted. So anyway, we're going to be doing two giveaways for this episode and two giveaways for the next episode because we're recording them back to back. So that you understand what's going on while we're doing that, we are doing giveaways in our Discord. I have four items just to kind of like celebrate the fact that we reached 300 episodes. Yeah. So just to like say thank you to our listeners.
We have many Potter things.
Yeah,
I know I do. I need another shelf, first of all, which I've already talked to Martin about this. I don't really have room for it right now, but I do have some stuff that I've just collected over the years that I think other people might want on their shelf. So might go through my stuff, too.
Yeah, I think I need to do that again as well.
Just to see.
So if you hear Carrie interject
very far away from the microphone because she can slide reaching.
She's helping us do the giveaways and she's timing it. We're kind of doing this like baby shower style where it's just a random timer and whoever messages last in the Discord at that moment wins it. So
can I ask you a question, just like super on the line? I think we said this last time to our patrons, but the epigraph at the beginning of this book, will you be on that Felix file? Because we're not smart.
I already started researching.
Heck yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
I love that.
I'll let you know the date and time.
But that's why you're Ravenclaw.
You'll be our addition. We'll have a mic for you, too.
Yeah, we'll make sure you have a mic. You. Yeah.
We've got another one floating around somewhere. That one doesn't have a stand.
I stole the other one like Katie's. It's at our place, but I'll bring it over. Anyway. Actual weekly profit news that's like not Swish related, but Wizarding World related, is the fact that Warner Brothers Games and NetEase confirmed a worldwide launch of a free-to-play collectible card RPG game, Harry Potter Magic Awakened. It is, again, from Portkey Games, and it's going to be a mobile game.
What do you mean? Wait a minute. Is this different than what's already out?
Yeah.
Wait, is it called the same thing?
Wait. What do you mean?
The game...
Isn't there already one out? I have an app downloaded on my phone. Magic Awakened. My cousin texted me, Andy. I've talked about him on this podcast before. My best buddy, my first best friend, besides my sister. He texted me and he was like, this is a really like well-rounded game. Yeah, it's out. But he loves it. He loves phone games though.
On and off with phone games. It just depends on my mood.
I'm not a phone game person, but if you are, which he is, he said it's very good. So it's cards, though.
So
it makes me think of Pokemon.
Pokemon, yeah. Oh,
that's freaking, kind of the vibe that I'm getting. It says this is not just your standard card game. There's also going to be new characters that are introduced. It says, unlike other mobile card games, Harry Potter Magic Awakened promises to be a little different, infusing RPG elements and multiplayer functionality all wrapped up in a unique illustrated picture book art style. It includes a dueling club, a dance club, and a special spell book for you to fill. And those are like some mini games and whatnot. The key feature of the game is the spell book. And... each spell comes with its own benefits, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, I mean, like, it seems like a very well-designed, fun game. And like you were saying, like, people are really enjoying it.
Yeah.
It was launched in China first.
All of a sudden, it, like, showed up on my Facebook. And I was like, yeah. What is this?
It
was launched in 2001 in China.
Wow.
But, like, relatively new still here.
What?
Relatively new.
What year?
2021.
You said 2001. I was like, what?
I might have said 2001.
You
sorry.
Absolutely did.
Play that track back.
I was like, what? I've had it this long.
2021.
What did he say? I'm gonna find this.
So yeah, it looks fun though. It's set in the 1980s.
He said, "quote It's well built," which means a lot from him. So
all right, but is Jacob's sibling in it?
I can't deal with anything if somebody puts this on the wiki as freaking canon.
It says that this is the first time seeing Hogwarts in this particular era, so there will be several characters you still recognize from Harry's time as a student.
Interesting.
Which is cool. Like Hagrid, Flitwick, and McGonagall are in it.
Got it.
Yeah, I don't know. It seems fun. It does feel very Pokemon-esque, but in a phone game and not like Pokemon Go, like literally the old card game style of Pokemon, but mobile.
I gotta tell you, Pokemon trading card game online via the app is superb.
Really?
It is amazing.
Nice.
So you, with your types of personalities, if you were to buy a deck, get the app and get on it, you would become obsessed. Like, it's that much fun.
Don't tell me that.
I'm sorry. I'm just saying, I have a lot of cards upstairs. You can
like, dude, Katie's collection was sweet, but it kind of got like lost.
Mine, yeah, I don't really know where it right is now, and I stopped.
I remember the day I opened up a holo Charizard. My God,
was it great?
It was amazing.
best day of your life besides your wedding day?
Okay. Are we done talking about that
yeah.
game?
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Okay. Moving on. Make sure to follow us on your preferred podcast listening platform and share this episode with your friends, because if you like us, then they may too. Subscribe to our channel on YouTube at Swish and Flick Podcast and follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok at Swish Flick Cast. If you'd like to support us on Patreon, head on over to patreon.com/swishflickcast. Supporting our podcast keeps us going, and it gives you access to our exclusive Felix Files episodes, Discord channel, live recordings, trivia games, Swish Swag Boxes, and more. Thank you all so much for your support. We get this question a lot, and again, I'm going to say, even though I say it on every episode, we're always accepting Potter stories. Just email them to us, swishflickcast@gmail.com. Thanks, guys.
I was turning through my copy of Deathly Hallows mm-hmm. at how small the section was that we had covered last time, and I'm... Lori,
it's like, we stopped on page 6!
That tracks.
What is wrong with us? Or what is so very right?
Mm-hmm.
Catherine.
Tiffany.
It's time.
Carrie, isn't it great when you can see your face?
It is.
Right?
Very special.
The internet right? will never know.
Okay, so we started Deathly Hallows. Woohoo! I know for at least me and Meg, we're like still a little nervous. I don't know about Tiff. She might
not
just be like,
I'm born for this moment.
So we started with Snape and Yaxley as they're entering a meeting held by Voldemort at Malfoy Manor. Long story short, that's pretty creepy. Snape informs Voldemort of the Order's plans to move Harry, and the Death Eaters are trying to gain control of the Ministry. Pious Thickness is now under the Imperious Curse. Dun dun dun.
All right. To look away from the chat now. Gryffindors, keep going. All right. I have 3 bookmarks going on in my thing. I have bookmark where I'm doing notes, like mm-hmm. actively. I have bookmark where I'm making docs. And I have bookmark where I'm annotating.
Nice.
And we're struggling. And they dropped. And my mouse stopped working. But we're going to keep going. Okay. So where we left off in the traditional version is page 7.
You're just going to skip over
Tiffany.
My summary?
Oh, well, you didn't talk.
Okay, it'll be quick.
I'll shut my book.
Voldy reminisces about all his mistakes when it comes to Harry Potter. And we find out they have a prisoner in the basement of Malfoy Manor. Voldemort needs a new wand and demands Luscious hand his over. Nagini comes to hang out across Voldy's shoulders while Voldemort basically tells Lucius he's trash. Bellatrix tries to save the convo by swooning over him, but all Voldy wants to know about is if Draco's going to babysit Remus and Tonks' pups. Bellatrix is embarrassed, but don't worry. Voldemort just tells her to prune her family tree, and she intends to, and unfortunately succeeds. Weep womp. And Charity is awoken by Voldemort. So sad.
Did you write so sad?
Yeah.
It is sad. Is this where I do? Oh yeah,
I even wrote weep womp.
You didn't look mm-hmm. at this doc in my notes, did you?
No,
because I want to know everybody's initial reactions. Harry didn't, because it's not shared with you.
You can speak now.
I apologize, Megan, for taking over your part.
Yeah, I actually took the time to write that summary like days ago.
Days,
actually
she
a week ago at this point now.
Days, she says. My brain's not working, so I get forgiveness.
I forgive you.
Thank you.
It's fine.
It is fine. Any whoosies. Okay. So we're on page 7. Ding it now. Thank you.
Ding da, ding ding.
So Voldemort claims that he's been thwarted by luck and chance when it comes to Harry Potter. And he claims that those are, quote, the wreckers of all but the best laid plans. And I just think that it's amusing that he's completely ignoring the fact that he goes on monologues. And he just doesn't, like, outwardly Avada or attempt to. So yeah, you give him plenty of time to like get away.
I'm not gonna kill Harry because I gotta sing my monologue.
Yes. Katie, that's a deep Taylor Swift cut. I love it.
Way over my head.
I don't know. She has a monologue song from SNL. You should listen to
it. Oh, okay.
His monologues ahead, come Lauren. Because he doesn't understand what he's feeling. He has this desire to draw things out when he talks to Harry, just in case he can get Harry to connect with him. But he doesn't know that's what he's doing, so he just kind of monologues. And he doesn't understand that he doesn't really want to kill Harry, at least until they connect, until Harry tells him whatever it is that Harry might be able to tell him. Because he doesn't understand this because trying to kill people is like the only way that Voldemort knows how to show people he wants them to love him. He's just a very confused villain.
Gross. Voldemort.
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 Voldemort. I don't know why that came out like a toad.
Oh, Voldemort.
Mm. Okay. So he continues on his little monologue. And he claims that he knows better now, right? He understands things that he didn't before, and he's going to be the one to kill Harry Potter. But if he was really smart, he would have actually given the job to somebody else, because then this little thing with Harry would have been done really fast. And I said lickety split, and then I was like, where's that phrase from? So I looked it up.
Wow, thank you.
And I actually hate this phrase now.
Oh, most phrases are like not good.
It has to do with like going faster with horses, so using a whip on them. And so I hate it.
I don't know why, but lickety split always made me think of banana splits. But now I don't like
those. Hufflepuff, that's okay. Why.
like a lick of a whip.
Yeah. So,
I do not have to like
from yourdictionary.com, not just dictionary.com. It's yours.
Your dictionary.
What about my dictionary?
You know.
Well, he can't give the job to kill Harry to anyone else, because this is one of the few times that I think the phrase Death Eaters makes sense to me. He wants to get to eat Harry's death.
Yes, but
he gives it to someone else he doesn't get to.
Right, but what I'm saying, like, then it would have actually been done. You know what I mean?
But he wouldn't have had fun.
Because he can't. Well, you're right.
The whole world just exists for Voldemort to play with.
Truly. Very self-centered. And so he's talking about this. And all of a sudden, this was my big mind-blow moment. And it might not be for a lot of people. You may have already connected this.
Most likely not. Continue.
I have read this book and listened to this book so many times. Even before this podcast, and I didn't make the connection until this last time I was doing my notes. So he's talking, and all of a sudden there's a wail, like somebody screams, and it's a sound of misery and pain. And it says, quote, Many of those at the table looked downward, startled, for the sound had seemed to issue from below their feet. Let me read it from the book, though. So I wrote in my notes, because I even thought this, I said a sudden wail from above, sound of misery and pain. And that's not true, because it's not from above. So everybody looks down. But what you assume is that the sound comes from Charity. And I was like, what? The sound came from above, right? I was like, what is the significance of them looking down? And I was like, why would the author write this? This is what's going in my head. Is this foreshadowing to the commotion in the cellar later on when Harry and his crew are there to escape and Wormtail dies? And I was like, speaking of Wormtail, he's supposed to be keeping the prisoner quiet, right? That's what he says. So prisoner, Charity, right? That's what I'm thinking. And in my brain, I'm like, apparently this isn't the first time that she's cried out. So Wormtail says, yes, my lord, gasped a small man halfway down the table who had been sitting so low in his chair that it appeared at first glance to be unoccupied. now scrambled up from his seat and scurried from the room, leaving nothing behind him but a glorious gleam of silver. And I was like, why would he leave? And then my light bulb went on.
I want to let you know that I didn't notice this until I was annotating my book last week.
So we caught it at the same time.
I'm the only one, and I'm the one who never figures anything out.
I did not realize this. And do I feel like a foolish mortal? Because I asked you, right, Katie?
Absolutely.
No, don't. What?
I asked you last week when I was annotating. I was like, is that Ollivander? Is that Luna? When was Luna taken? Who is that down there?
It's not Luna. It's Ollivander. It's Ollivander yelling in the cellar. And I'm like, why would I have never
caught that? I actually picked it up because of the movie. But
I was going to say, I was like, now it makes sense that they show that at the beginning of the movie because they're kind of trying to like put this in there differently. You know what I mean? It's like, okay, at the beginning of the movie, we see that he's taken. And now you can make that connection. Oh, he was taken at the beginning.
No, at the meeting in the movie, they hear a scream and he tells them to keep him quiet.
See, I don't watch the movie.
Yeah.
So see, I'm thinking of like the scene where they're like destroying Millennium Bridge.
Yeah.
And then they like literally capture Ollivander.
Right. No, he literally screams.
Because like we obviously don't get that actual scene in the book. So like I made that connection because of that scene that I'm talking about in the movie to then reading it.
Well, if you understood that on your second read,
is that from Half-Blood Prince?
This book. kudos to you for being real smart because I didn't get it until now. And if you're still like, what are you guys talking about? Ollivander is in the cellar. He is the prisoner that Voldemort is speaking of, not Charity Burbage. And that's why Wormtail leaves, goes to the basement, and everybody looks down. Because it's not Charity who says anything. It's Ollivander screaming in the basement.
Yeah. That's so funny. That literally was a light bulb moment for me last week, too.
And I was like, what in the world?
I was like, shoot.
I didn't get that until now. Certain things pop out to me as I'm listening because I'm always doing other things. My emotional support.
Really. I also just like always assumed it was Charity.
Yeah.
And then just didn't even question Wormtail leaving.
It's easy to because if you think about it. So if she yells, everybody in the room may be not everybody, but many people might be like, oh, snap. Like, and you kind of shrink. You maybe feel like scared. You might have to watch something. You know, these people are still human. Like, not everybody is so bloodthirsty as Bellatrix or Fenrir. Draco certainly isn't. Oh, he's not going to want to watch somebody get tortured.
Draco.
Or whatever. You know what I mean? So, like, maybe they're shrinking at that sound, afraid of what they're about to see, blah, blah, blah. But yeah, it's Ollivander in the cellar because he's been kidnapped that long since Half-Blood Prince, right?
Yeah.
Now that I didn't like totally analyze and think of. Like, it's been a long time.
Mia pointed out and reminded me that the Millennium Bridge scene is the start of the Half-Blood Prince movie.
They're all the same at the end of me.
But that but that specific scene is what then made me like the light bulb go on. Like,
okay. Ding, ding, ding.
I also thought the way you did, Tiffany, where at first I thought, okay, what's that noise? It's Charity. Why are they all looking down? And I think it was done that way on purpose, written that way, so that we, the reader, can be startled just like all the people there. The horror is even worse than what you think. You know, you're looking at this woman above the table and then... No, it's not just over your heads. It's under your feet, too. There's depths to this terribleness. Yeah. And you just are really trapped. There's one person in control of the mood in this room. It's very frightening.
Ugh. Yeah. And, like, the fact that he's been down there that long, he's not getting taken up for air, I don't think. You know what I mean? I don't know. It's horrid. So that was me. I literally sat gaping at my computer when I was doing this. And there must have been something about actually like reading the word slowly that made my brain go, wait a minute. So anyways, Voldemort continues on and he tells his followers that he's understanding better now. And he thinks that that is via Ollivander information. And he's like, can I just like borrow someone's wand? Megan.
I just wanted to interrupt and congratulate Evie on winning the first giveaway. She won the Lego set.
What's the Lego set?
It's the Herbology classroom.
Herbs, you say?
Herbs.
Herbertlinger.
Herbs. Herbs.
Herbertlinger.
Love it. Okay. And so in this moment, Voldemort thinks that it's basically just the twin cores that are the issue, right? And it's not the fact that Harry has any kind of superior magic. It's not anything else other than these twin cores. But, bro, you're so deeply intertwined with this kid. You are so
truly
wrong.
Like, don't even know.
He has no idea.
I think he's hoping. He's hoping that it's going to be something logical that he can get through Ollivander, because otherwise he'll be completely at a loss. Figuring out the truth that will require skills that he doesn't have, the emotional intelligence. Right. This is kind of his only hope, logic.
Right. They both have done or have experienced magic that the other can't understand. Like Voldemort does obviously so many grotesque things that Harry can't fathom. But Harry also, not that he does actively perform magic that Voldemort doesn't know, but he is what's a good word for it? He just has it, right? He didn't necessarily perform it, but it's just a part of who he is, which I think is interesting. So everyone's like, oh no. You want my wand? My wand, my lifeline during times of war. And the author says that they're acting like Voldemort wanted one of their arms. Basically, that's what you're asking for.
I think it's more than an arm.
It's like it's your only means of survival. No volunteers, not even our dearest Bella, right? Not to be confused with Swan.
I'm so proud of you, Tiffany.
You made a Twilight reference.
Oh, I've been waiting for you, Loka.
I've been waiting for you, Loka.
That's too much.
You've been, Loka.
Did you see what I sent you on Instagram, by the way? She's like, so much music. What are you listening to? And it's like, who lives in a pineapple under the sea?
I don't think I've seen that one yet.
I sent it to you.
I'm sorry.
God. Anyways, quote. No volunteers, said Voldemort. Let's see. Lucius, I see no reason for you to have a wand anymore. This was so well done in the movie, by the way. I won't say that a lot.
It is. This scene in general is done pretty well.
It's good. Voldemort at the end of this long, ornate table. Great. Lucius Malfoy looked up. His skin appeared yellowish and waxy in the firelight, and his eyes were sunken and shadowed. When he spoke, his voice was hoarse. Nay! No, I'm just kidding.
What possessed you?
His voice was hoarse, Megan. Oh. I would not read
it. I just thought you straight up neighed for no reason.
I'm seriously like,
I haven't laughed in days, okay? I need it. I need it so much.
Oh my god.
Oh, check out the horse in the chat. He's even got Luscious's hair.
He said,
it's beautiful.
My lord, your wand, Lucius. I require your wand.
There's no recovery.
I'm sorry, I ain't on this podcast.
No.
I help people laugh at work or in their car. We're in really quiet rooms. Please write to us and tell us if you embarrass yourself because of me. Malfoy glanced sideways at his wife. She was staring straight ahead, quite as pale as he was, her long blonde hair hanging down her back. But beneath the table, her slim fingers closed briefly on his wrist. At her touch, Malfoy put his hands into his robes, withdrew a wand and passed it along to Voldemort, who held it up in front of his red eyes. Red!
Mm.
Examining it closely.
I love this. I swear, Narcissa and Lucius have the most functional marriage in the series.
And that is saying very little.
Well,
wait. No, but because also, I just think they're interesting. What about Molly and Arthur, Lori?
I think this one's more functional. I don't like the way Molly and Arthur go behind each other's backs.
Ooh.
And try to get their kids to side against each other.
Hot take.
Lori, you're just giving Megan ammo for Molly.
Huh?
Freaking, I'm not going to say it. I don't like Molly.
Straight up.
I have a hard time with her.
I don't like Molly.
Put it on the list.
I like her better than in person.
Yeah. I was going to use the H-A-T-E word, but then that would put her on my list of undesirables. And I don't like think that she's worthy of that, but I don't like her.
Oh, okay. Never mind. Don't put her on the list.
Yeah. Don't put her on the list. She's not that bad.
But the red eyes thing too.
She's not
Go ahead. Yeah. Sorry, I'm interrupting you.
Oh, this is literally like so dumb. I was just gonna say she's not as bad as Geranium. God.
You heard it here first, folks. Molly Weasley's not as bad as the flowers. Gosh.
What is wrong with me?
I don't know. Let's talk about red eyes because I need everyone to remember that because, like I said, I think I said this last time, sometimes we lose it a little bit on Voldemort's character because of the actor, but he's horrid looking, you guys. He's got red eyes and vertical pupils.
He's a snake.
He's a slippery snake. Go ahead, Lori.
So yeah, when his eyes glow red, that signifies that he's coveting something important that belongs to other people, such as their lives, their treasures, like Hufflepuff's cup, or their love.
Oh, as the author mentioned, his eyes had like a reddish glow to them.
Every gleam.
Gleam.
And then we see it again when Ron is possessed by the bit of soul in the Horcrux, that his eyes glow red. It's that desire to take somebody else's belongings over their personal will.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, red eyes. Okay, ding.
No, that's good. We need to remember that, though. It adds to the level of fear, and everybody needs to be scared throughout this whole book.
I'm so terrified.
So Voldemort's like, so what's in this thing? And I do enjoy in the movie where he snaps the end off of Lucius's wand, the cane part.
Yeah.
I think that's good.
He's like, I don't need this crap.
I was going to say, Voldemort's like, Lucius, give me your Potter profile, please.
Good thing you asked. It's made of dragon and not phoenix, which he's like, good. He doesn't really say it like that, but he could have. The end of it is a snaky snake, which looks kind of cool in the movies.
I like his wand in the movies.
The wiki suggests that he may have inherited the wand from an ancestor.
I don't know. That's dumb.
Because they're Malfoys and that stuff goes deep.
I mean, same. Yeah. I don't like that idea. I feel like it's his.
What?
During the 1985-1986 school year, Lucius came to Hogwarts to inspect, during which his son Draco stole the wand. Jacob's sibling and somebody named Snide helped him recover it. I can't take this. The wiki.
Oh my god.
No.
Freaking game information on the wiki kills me.
I cannot.
Jacob's sibling.
I can't. Why is it Jacob's sibling?
Do they have a name?
Jinx, you owe me a Coke.
Whatever.
Oof. That was quick. I got one jinx on Alana today. Did you just?
Okay. She did.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. So Voldemort takes out his own wand and compares the length. And Lucius makes a motion. He's like, oh, put my hand out to take Voldemort's wand in return. And Voldemort's like, me? you think you get mine in return? And he like calls him out for this. Yes, Megan.
Very important information. You, the player, are Jacob's sibling. That's why there's no name.
Oh. Because it's whatever your name is. I remember that now. What? Thank you, CJ Marie.
A couple
Marie.
People said it.
Oh, thank you, everyone.
CJ Marie, Chelsea. And who's... then Janine said Jacob's sibling should be a bingo square.
Who's Jacob? Anyways.
I don't know.
Your sibling.
Your sibling.
I know, but like...
Jacob Black?
They're shapeshifters, not werewolves. That's what that is.
Tiffany, you nade.
Yeah. Anyways, so yeah, so Voldemort doesn't miss this, right? He's like, oh, no, you are absolutely not worthy. And so he calls him out for it.
And that is Voldy's dream come true, because, you know, he's been building up to this, praying that Lucius is going to do that so he can just pounce on him. Ugh. He's really drooling with the fun of taunting Lucius and disgracing the whole Malfoy family. And it's like it's his favorite cat toy that he has to like kill over and over again.
Oh my God. Yeah, he really does love just like laying it on thick on the Malfoy family at this time. And he says, quote, I have given you your liberty, Lucius. Is that not enough for you? But I have noticed that you and your family seem less than happy as of late. What is it about my presence in your home that displeases you, Lucius? He says his name a lot, which is like,
Yeah. Also, like, is he like, can you picture Voldemort staying in a room? Again, like, I can't picture him sleeping.
Doing anything.
No.
I can't. No.
At this
everyday
point,
life
it's,
things. No.
Yeah, he's just being mean at this point.
Yeah.
He's got them cornered.
Yeah.
Truly.
But, like, truly, I can't picture him being a house guest.
No.
Does he sleep? I mean, he's a human.
He would be vulnerable.
Does he just wait?
If he slept.
You take
unless
power naps.
Nagini protected him.
Yeah. Does he live on
like,
Red Bull?
I will eat you if you come in this room.
Yeah. Well, where do we begin, Lord V? There's lots happening. So Lucius basically tells him everything's good, Jim. You're fine. And Voldemort basically hisses at him and he's like, lies.
Lies.
But like, seriously, for a moment here. Sure. Voldy's dream is to endlessly punish people for not loving him, even if they pretend to love him. Like when Wormtail is in book four, he...
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Taunts Wormtail about feeling repulsed by him. He is literally biting the hand that feeds him. And he's doing that to Lucius now. If they've lied that they do love him and he's closed off their escape routes, then that's like his greatest enjoyment. He can just keep taunting them. Because he's trying to do that until his feelings of hurt are satisfied, and that is going to be never. You don't want to be in this position with him.
No, definitely not. Definitely not. And speaking of hissing, our main girl's here, hissing right along with him, and the sound gets louder and louder as Nagini approaches.
And Nagini is his real mom. You know, he's showing... them. This is my real mom. Chosen family is really important to me. Like, this is what a
not
loyal creature looks like. Well, would an aunt offer, would someone milk his aunt for sustenance?
Lori, you're asking incorrect questions.
I beg to differ. This is from the text.
This is from the text.
This is canon.
I cannot. Jacob's sibling will.
Oh my gosh. Okay. So here comes Nagini. Hiss, hiss, slither, slither. So what?
Oh, why are you looking at me like that?
You said hiss, hiss, slither, slither.
I did. Oh, no, that I needs don't know to what be I a said. Sticker or something.
Hiss, hiss, slither, slither. So she comes and just, like, you know, chillaxes on Voldy's shoulders. And he's
like Britney Spears,
stroking her absently and looking at Luscious. Why do the Malfoys look so unhappy with their lot? Is my return, my rise to power, not the very thing they professed to desire for so many years?
So many years.
And Lucius is like, of course, of course. Let me bow to you, my lord. Mm-hmm. I just hit my microphone while I was bowing. Anyway. It's like when you're at a concert, like an emo concert.
Yep.
Anyway.
At the Dark Lord Ascending concert.
At the Dark Lord Ascending concert.
DLA.
If somebody takes that name for a wizard rock band, you're dead to me. That's my band.
What about the Screaming Roots?
Oh, yeah. Those I have two bands.
This is kind of also here another example of, like, Lucius and Narcissa's marriage being pretty solid, because he's like, you know, of course we do desire it, and she is just next to him. She makes an odd stiff nod, and her eyes have averted themselves from Voldemort and the snake. Like, she, they're very obviously unhappy. That's basically what this is saying. Like, they are united in this, even though they're trying not to really show it, but, like, you know, nothing just goes by Voldemort without him noticing. And this is where, like, Bella comes in, where I think a little bit of sister damage control. She says, my lord, it is an honor to have you here in our family's house. There can be no higher pleasure. And I wrote in my book, I think that this here is almost like a protective tactic for Narcissa from Bellatrix. Like, obviously Bellatrix is, you know, just loves Voldemort. But, like, mm-hmm. I do think that she could sense something, like, mm-hmm. I need to say something here to, like, make up for Narcissa's lack of even, like, looking at him.
Yeah.
And he says, no higher pleasure. And he, like, is considering.
He pops off.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Pops off.
No higher pleasure. That means a great deal, Bellatrix, from you. Now, I just want to, like, put into perspective here a little bit. Like, if we are believing Cursed Child to be canon, Delphi is born right now.
Not.
She's not?
No. It's me. It's me going into Cursed Child in my head. Carry on.
Got it. No. You're good.
Is she?
Yeah, she had her at the end of Half-Blood Prince.
Gross.
That's why she wasn't at the battle.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, the Malfoys just have failure after failure. And Lucius failed to bring Voldemort the prophecy after having a Horcrux destroyed. And, like, this is why Voldemort is just, like, I'm just laying it on this family right now. So he talks to Bellatrix, and then he goes, no higher pleasure, even compared with the happy event that I hear has taken place in your family this week. And they are just, like, confused. They have no idea what he's talking about, because they are just so clueless to Andromeda and her family. That they really, truly, like, didn't even connect the dots here.
Here, okay. So they're just now finding out about the birth or the marriage. Sorry. Because I think that that's interesting if they don't know, because that's just one more thing that the Death Eaters, like, don't talk about. Because, like, they hide everything from each other because no one trusts anyone.
Yeah.
And I just,
I don't, I'm not entirely positive if they knew or not, but if they did know, they were very obviously just forcefully forgetting about it. Like, mm-hmm. you know, like, oh, we don't even, like, acknowledge them as part of the family. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because, so he says, I'm talking about your niece Bellatrix and yours Lucius and Narcissa. She has just married the werewolf Remus Lupin. You must be so proud. And I just wrote in here, like, I have such a hard time seeing Tonks as their niece. Like, that is just, like, the most bizarre thing. Yeah. But then, like, it's a good reminder when you think to, in a little bit in this book, whenever Harry sees Andromeda for the first time, how similarly she looks to Bellatrix. And that's, ooh, like...
Wait a minute. But I feel... Yes. First of all, yes. I feel like this might be their first time hearing about this.
Yeah, I think so, too.
I think they're all on lockdown, and the reason why Voldemort was known is because he has people that are getting intelligence on people who are in the Order of the Phoenix, and nobody's revealing any information to anybody else.
That's true. How would they know?
Why would anybody want to tell the Malfoy family or Bellatrix anything and let them be on a higher level? We're trying to push them down, right? Because we want to be on the higher level.
Right.
Ooh.
That's interesting.
You're spilling tea all over this ornate table at this meeting.
He was saving it to embarrass them.
I live for it.
Remus and Tonks were not being loud about it. They were being really quiet because it was such a risky marriage. So he was revealing that he had gotten some good gossip, and he knew this was going to make, you know, a ripple. And he is being such a jerk to Bellatrix. She does not deserve this from him. He is just being mean.
She's getting the ripple effects of Lucius and Narcissa right here. And it's literally just because they're related and not because I think he actually has any beef with Bellatrix. It was just an easy target at this point.
Well, I think that he enjoys shredding people.
Yeah. She just birthed your heir.
Lifting them back up. I mean, can we put a note in for... I'm going to talk about abuse within a relationship, but this feels very abusive. Like, if we think about their relationship just together, like, I am going to kick you when you're down and shred you to pieces, and I'm going to embarrass you in front of your colleagues and your family, who is also embarrassed by everything because you're all in the same thing. But then I'm going to tell you that it's okay. We can, you know, prune out a little family tree.
Kid.
Think about that. That is.
Yeah.
That's horrible. But I hate her. She's evil.
For sure. But like sometimes we've talked about this, you know, like whenever we're not, I'm not going to say jokingly, but like we will say like, oh, who's worse, Umbridge or Voldemort? And like we always make fun of Voldemort as a villain, but like he's more evil, I think, sometimes than we give him credit for. Not that we don't, I'm trying to figure out how to word that, because like obviously we know that he's evil. He has the lake, he has, like, we know he's done all these absolutely horrible things, but like a lot of the times we will choose other people being more evil than him. And I think that that might shift a little bit in my mind as we go through this book.
It's hard,
you know, because like,
yeah, it's hard to wrap our brains around how evil he is, because it's so frightening. Whereas the way Umbridge is evil, it's like people you might have met.
Exactly.
Right.
And that is almost what, like, in the moment makes you feel like she's worse, because you're like, oh, well, I can relate to that level of evil. But like Voldemort, I like what Vinny said. He's light years ahead of Dolores. It's like he's far beyond where Umbridge is.
Yeah,
and like we didn't necessarily get to read and see him in the moment of him at Dolores's level, but like he's so far past that. And I think sometimes that can be something that we forget.
Yep. A bad egg.
He's your bad egg.
Mm-hmm. While you guys were discussing, another winner was chosen.
Oh yes. Woo. Chelsea wins the apron.
Oh, that's
cute,
cool.
I promise.
It's super cool. And we also got a bingo, but we will announce that later on.
Bingo.
A mango. Oh my god, it's so cute.
It's really cute.
Oh, just wait, Chelsea. Super cute.
Carrie took a picture and is posting it.
Okay. So, where am I? The whole table just erupts in laughter. And it's like kind of like grotesque. It's like some of them are like slamming their fists on the table. Other ones are exchanging, quote, gleeful looks.
Because you gotta like be on Voldemort's side when he's bashing someone else that's not you or your family,
right?
Gotta
climb this ladder, and I gotta take advantage of them when they're down.
Yeah. Yeah. So it says they were so jubilant were they at Bellatrix and Malfoy's humiliation. Like you guys said, gotta be on his side. Bellatrix originally Meg.
The picture that Carrie took made it look like I don't have pants on. That's all. I just
see.
She
has pants.
As soon as I posted it, I noticed that. And I'm like, no one's gonna say anything.
I am.
No one's gonna say anything.
You're welcome, everyone. You can be on
the damn stamps.
Just look at the apron.
Yes, avert your eyes.
Oh my god. Anyway, so Bellatrix originally is all like fawning over him, and now her face is this ugly splotchy red, right? She's embarrassed. And she says, "She is no niece of ours, my lord," she cried over the outpouring of mirth. Like, that's evil enjoyment. Ugh. "We, Narcissa and I, have never set eyes on our sister since she married the mudblood. This brat has nothing to do with either of us, nor any beast she marries. First of all, step back, ma'am." Okay. And then Voldemort says,
"Who you calling beast?"
Right. "What say you, Draco?" asked Voldemort. And though his voice was quiet, it carried clearly through the catcalls and jeers. "Will you babysit the cubs?" The hilarity mounted.
I would.
Yeah.
Give me them puppies.
Do you remember back in the day, like online, people would be like, "Bring on the multicolored werepups."
Yes. Yes.
So
can you imagine a little pink Poochie?
That'd be so cute. Like natural, like you're not dyeing it. Like
correct.
Natural. Not
a pooch
like
that could change their fur color at will.
Not like I'm taking too long to explain.
Yep,
it, so
I know what you're talking about.
Funny.
Key lime green.
Editing, yeah, I'm talking about the, Taylor Swift song, "The Last Great American Dynasty," where she talks about the owner of her house that she now owns in Rhode Island. She dyed her dog key lime green. Anyway, go ahead.
She stole a dog and dyed it key
lime
green.
Yeah, that's right. Someone went to the show as the dog dyed key lime green.
That's amazing.
Deep cut.
Anyway.
So everyone's laughing more. And Draco, of course, like, was just addressed personally by Voldemort. So he looks at Lucius in absolute terror. Lucius is just staring down at
his
lap.
Don't say my name.
Right. So he looks to his mom, and she just shakes her head the smallest bit and is just staring deadpan. I know. I feel bad for him. Like, I know that. Like, he thought that this was his path, and he's realizing that it's not what he actually wants in life.
He really
and now
is
he's
being
there.
Evil not all it's chalked up to be, Draco? I'm just kidding. I do feel bad for him.
Oh my god.
He's just led on the wrong path.
Unfortunately, some life lessons are harder to learn than others.
Mm-hmm.
And we make choices, and we have to deal with those consequences.
Well, and he's lucky he gets to go on and, you know, clean up his act.
He's lucky he had Snape.
Yeah.
Yep.
So Voldemort tells them enough, and immediately laughter stops. So Bellatrix is staring at Voldemort. She's breathless and imploring when he tells her many of their oldest family trees become a little diseased over time, and you just have to prune it to keep it healthy.
He just has to murder everyone and it's fine.
Yeah.
That's what he's saying, because that's what he did.
It is. But what about himself? He's not pure blood.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Just drives me nuts.
But that's not for them to know or to even discuss. Because I'm sure some of them do know.
So he goes on to say, cut away the parts that threaten the health of the rest. So she goes, yes, my lord, at first chance. And this is why she has such a bloodlust for Tonks. I never caught that before.
Yeah.
Like, literally, it was, it's she literally took it as, like, a moment. Direct order.
Yeah. She's like, well, just following orders. He said, prune the family tree. So I'm going to go after Ted, Andromeda, if I can, Tonks, Remus.
So Voldemort
tried very hard to kill me.
Yeah. Voldemort promises that she'll have the chance.
And that's just like, what, a week later or something,
very
right?
Soon. Yeah, I don't know the time.
What, Ted?
Whenever Tonks arrives at the burrow and says she tried very hard to kill me. That's like literally the next battle from this.
Real quick.
This quote from Voldemort is like so intense. He says they would cut away the canker that infects us until only those of the true blood remain in the world. I don't know. That's just like
so he should die.
Right?
It's like literally what he's saying.
So finally he uses Lucius's wand to wake up the figure that's revolving in the air over the table, and he looks to Snape and says, do you recognize our guest? And Snape has to play the act here, which I can't even imagine being in his shoes. And he looks up at this woman who's looking right back at him, and in a terrified voice asks him to help her. And he can't even bat an eye. Like, every move is watched, and he just goes, ah, yes. I don't like Snape, but you can't tell me that you can't appreciate some of the stuff he's able to do. That's not for everyone.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. This makes me think about Ron in book one when he says, that's chess, you've got to make some sacrifices. And you see this 12-year-old boy doing something kind of terrifying.
Right.
If you want to save people, somebody has to be sacrificed. But the thing that Snape is doing is what this series keeps telling us is harder. It's easier if you decide to sacrifice yourself. The harder thing is when you decide that somebody else, especially if that someone is innocent, has to be sacrificed in order for the most people to be saved. And that's Dumbledore's problem. He has such a hard time making himself let Harry suffer. You know, he thinks, why shouldn't the whole wizarding world just suffer as long as I can, you know, keep this one child happy? And, you know, but that's the hard thing he has to do. And this is what Snape has to do here, facing his colleague. And actually, he is helped by the atmosphere in the room because it's so terrifying. He doesn't have to remind himself what the stakes are. But that thing where you look at somebody knowing, I have to let you go, that's a lot.
I can't even begin to imagine. And he argues with Dumbledore about this as well. And he said, Dumbledore's like, you know, how many people have you sat by and watched die or not saved? And he says, only the ones that I literally can't save. I don't save.
Yeah.
He's actively working constantly. Constantly. I mean, no one else in the series would have done Dumbledore's bidding and orders and whatnot like this. Nobody else would have.
No.
I even think Hagrid would have reservations, even though he would do anything for Dumbledore.
Yeah,
Hagrid would try to save everybody.
Hagrid, McGonagall.
All of them would have reservations. I mean, not that he doesn't have reservations, but he goes through with... God, he kills him.
Yeah. Could you see McGonagall actually, like, following through and killing Dumbledore? I don't know. I'm kind of torn.
Now that you asked that. Yes.
Maybe that part, but like...
Because she trusts him so.
Could you see her reaction to finding out that Harry is being raised just to be killed?
Maya.
Yeah.
Understatement.
Way more than Snape. I mean, Snape is mad about it,
but
to be fair, even for a kid that he claims he hates.
He's raising him to be killed, knowing in his best guess that he's not actually going to die. So
but he's not sure.
We can't really say pig for slaughter, you guys.
You're really pulling at strings here.
When there's an end game. Okay. Catherine, are you finished?
Mm-hmm.
Lori, are you finished?
Yes.
She's like, no, never.
Okay.
You got to go really fast because we're way behind.
I know. I'm doing three. Okay. What Taylor Swift song, this is from Marguerite. You know I'm picking it because it has Taylor Swift in it. What Taylor Swift song represents Voldemort?
I did something bad.
Oh, yeah. Definitely something off Reputation.
Yeah. The whole album.
Don't blame me. Look what you made me do.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you just blame everybody else. Right. Look what you made me do. Look. Look what you made me do.
Pre said mean.
Yeah. Mean too. All right.
So many. I didn't expect that many to roll with Tom.
This is interesting.
Thomas.
Slapquack Shonda asks, are there Death Eaters getting wand materials for Ollivander to make wands for them? I mean, I think that that's why they kept him for as long as they did, because he was...
Well, he has the info.
He has the info.
He can't get that and... anybody else. He can't let Harry know.
And if anybody loses a wand, just demand he make another one.
Maybe. I just feel like they would be like pirates. I see them as pirates. Just like stealing unicorn hairs.
Black market.
Well, but they have access to the Forbidden Forest once the school year starts.
Death Eaters tell no tales. Now all I want to do is smell pirate water.
I can have some holy water up there.
I don't know. I don't think this is lame. We would literally walk by it, like, into the queue, and Alana would go, Mom, I smell that pirate water. Smells fresh.
Yep. When that AC is blowing the right way and you walk by.
Freaking love that ride. Give me another one. Hurry up.
Marguerite, do you think Bellatrix would have happily given her wand to Voldemort, or would she have been offended? She didn't offer it.
What's the question?
Would Bellatrix have happily given her wand to Voldemort?
I am kind of surprised she didn't offer, now that you say that.
She's afraid.
What's she going to do whenever she has to...
That's literally, like, that's your only weapon. She can't defend herself.
I know, but...
Nope, none of these people are hand-to-hand combat types.
Especially not when it's hand, like, to wand. Like, someone else has a wand coming at you, you're just going to go up and punch them? It's not going to work.
Sirius did in the movie.
Wow. Okay, one more, just because I really like this one. CJ Marie asks, what would Voldemort have done if Lucius did not give him his wand?
Oh, yeah, he probably would have died.
Would he have killed him?
Why not?
That'd be throw him in with Ollivander.
Not do anything else. Who's going to stop him? Who's going to, like, anybody on that table going to be like, no.
Draco?
Then he's dead too.
Yeah.
He'd probably get tortured and tossed in the basement with Ollivander.
Okay, Katie.
Fan story. Oh, this is an oldie.
But a goodie, I'm sure.
Oh, from a time before.
Way before?
2018.
2008.
We hardly,
as I would have said earlier.
Right? 2008 was a great year.
It was.
I met Martinius Omely.
Aw.
I was dating Katie for 2 years already.
A million years.
Anyway.
Our class slogan was, oh, wait, is great.
Okay.
Great.
Yeah, it was amazing.
And you wonder why the seniors lost your fundraiser that year.
What does that mean?
It's a long
it was
story.
Like, you know how, okay, so like my high school had like a fundraiser, and like you went again, you competed against all the grades, and like the seniors
it's
always
like a pep
won
rally.
It's like the seniors always win, you know, it's just like how it is. The freshman won her year.
Oh,
it was because a her
big
school
old insult.
Her school admin literally just like hated them.
It was terrible.
Hey.
Anyway,
like, the freshman.
It was awful.
Frickin' 2012ers, right?
Oh my god. Yeah.
2012ers.
I don't know what else you say.
What rhymes with 12?
Nothing.
Delve.
Anyway.
Katie's like, and our fan story.
Okay. Oshana Doan from August of 2018. I recently found your podcast and just managed to finish binge listening to them all.
Are you still caught up?
Yeah, are you still here?
You still here?
I wanted to share my fan story because hearing about all the different ways Harry Potter has influenced people has been really interesting. For my 10th birthday, my uncle gifted me the first 3 Harry Potter books, and I picked them up almost immediately. I blasted through them and begged my parents to buy me the rest of the series. I was lucky that at the time, all the books had been released, and I finished those in a similar fashion to the first 3. Though I wasn't able to join in on the book releases because of when I started the series, I was able to experience the excitement for the release of Deathly Hallows Part 2, also now with the Fantastic Beasts franchise. Oh, R.I.P. I soon reread the series to cure my disappointment after my Hogwarts letter failed to come the year I turned 11. After that, I wouldn't pick up the series again until a couple months ago. Late last year, I was diagnosed with osteosarcoma, and I'm still undergoing treatment now. I was at a really low point in my life after finding out, and on a whim, decided to reread the series. It was probably one of the best decisions to make because it pulled me out of the situation I was in for me to endure it. Who knew that books I read in my childhood would be so significant to me now? I also find it fitting that I picked them up again the year I'll turn 18, September 13th, when I would be in my first year of Hogwarts. Listening to you guys who have a similar level of love for Harry Potter as I do always makes my days brighter. Thank you for that. I also love discovering the layers and the details I never noticed that are brought up on the podcast. Awaiting your next episode, Oshana. P.S. I'm a proud Slytherin, though.
Woo!
Living in the U.S., I would be attending Ilvermorny and sorted into Thunderbird.
Hmm.
My wand is Laurel Wood with a phoenix. My high school mascot, Feather Voice. Core, 12 nice. And 3/4 inches, and pliant flexibility. I took the Patronus test twice and got a goshawk and a magpie, both birds. PPS, and I read this before I started, that's why I said the name correctly. My name is pronounced Oshana. People usually have trouble pronouncing my name, and I may lack a little faith after listening to the episode so far.
You're right.
You're not wrong.
You're right.
Well, I hope treatments are going well for you. We'd like to hear from you
yes,
for sure.
Please tell us, like, if you're on Facebook or Instagram, like, write to us and let us know how you're doing and if you're still listening. Thank you so much for your story. I love that we can be here for people.
Yeah.
Thank you for your story and for your pronunciation.
Yes, we appreciate the pronunciation. I heard tell from a little magpie birdie.
I didn't.
But that you came prepared today.
I did. Look, I got tabbies. I picked them out already.
I got green tabbies.
For the Slytherin book.
Mm.
All right, why is it? Don't look at the answer, Carrie.
I didn't. Okay. My eyes are so bad.
These old eyes.
Why is it unpleasant to dine with Professor Lupin? Because he just wolfs down his meals.
Is that true?
I would think so.
Why don't you know?
I don't know.
Have you never dined?
I wish we could have dined.
I don't know what's happening with me.
If you would like to follow us on social media.
The question is why?
Myself and Katie are on Instagram and TikTok at The Peters Family. Tiffany is on Instagram and TikTok at TiffSwish_flick. Lori, you would like people to go to your website. Can you say what that is?
LoriKim.com, LoriKim.
You spelled nice. Awesome wrong.
Aww,
Katie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
fast.
You go first.
Okay. I'm gonna say what I'm reading today because everybody knows what video game I'm playing. I'm like cruising through Crescent City 2 and Silver Flames, Court of Silver Flames, because I'm reading them at the same time. I love it. Like so many connections.
That's going to be next on my list.
Yeah. Although I kind of wish I had like physical copy of Crescent City because
get one.
I have one. I just don't want to write in it because it's too pretty.
Get another one to write in.
I know, but like the crossover stuff that I'm like connecting.
Mm-hmm.
I love it.
I am listening to Lavender House, the book. It's like a queer murder mystery. It's very interesting. I like it. It's not like my typical vibe of a book, but
what, Moira?
Murder mystery. Yeah, it's, I don't, I mean, like, sometimes I'm in the mood for it, but I'm liking it. It's good. I like it so far. I'm like a little more than halfway through, so gotta find out who killed who, you know.
Yeah, mystery dinners.
I haven't started Empire of Storms yet.
Shame on you.
But you finished Queen of, wait, what is it,
what was the last one?
Queen, no, Crown, no.
Guys, I literally remember like nothing from that
series.
Wait,
it's Queen of Shadows.
Queen of Shadows.
So we told Carrie the wrong book.
We told Carrie to read the wrong book next.
Oh, what should be next?
Crown of Midnight.
Ah, that's it.
I mean, yeah, the internet's there, you guys.
Come on. But I'm not doing it like in publication order, so I don't know what order they're
in. Well, I just told her. No, that is publication. That is publication order,
no,
because
Assassin's Blade was number two.
It was not published second, I don't think.
It should be stuck in between.
It should be Air of Fire and Queen of Shadows. It's sandwiched between Air of Fire.
We'll be talking more about this offline.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, dang. Mom's mad.
Next up is Crown of Midnight for you, Carrie, okay?
I think so.
I
Livy.
Okay. Shh. You would have jumped right into a spot that you knew nothing about.
Would have been no bueno.
Anyway, Lori, are you reading or watching, or
are you writing, Lori?
Yeah, what are you working on
today? Like, I can't tell. I am that. Doing none of those things because I have a 15-year-old and I am parenting, so I could lie and pretend that I'm doing something really cultured. I'm not.
Oh man. Okay, Janine got bingo for Ravenclaw.
Wow,
congratulations.
Our first new first bingo for
that,
this new
is
cup.
Our first bingo of the new time. School year that started in July, apparently.
Good job.
Class of 24.
That means that the ew. House cup standings are Gryffindor.
Wow.
Is in the first with 730.
Look at me.
Ravenclaw is in second with 340, Hufflepuff's in third with 140, and Slytherin's in fourth with 120. Wow,
third or snakes. Nothing.
Way to show up today, Lions.
Way to not show up today, Slytherins.
No.
Anyway,
I liked other people's things.
So did I.
I liked other people's things.
I liked other houses' things today. I think I liked a Hufflepuff's.
I liked
a Hufflepuff. I noticed that your wife's house, but okay.
Anyway.
I did like other people's things.
Thank you, Lori.
I will fight someone. Physically. You see this? Lifted biceps today. I'm not playing. All right. Lori, thanks for coming.
You know we love you and you put up with us and we appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
Sometimes I'm like, gosh, like so many like really truly brilliant people we've had either come onto this podcast or like are in our Discord and talk to us, and I'm like, I feel like such a dork. Like these brilliant people just like are still here. Like, why? Thanks for liking us.
honestly, it's because you guys are kind.
Aww.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're kind.
You are kind. Aww. I love you, Lori. Mm. Thanks for coming on.
I'm just gonna go cry now.
Good. Bye.
No, I'm just kidding.
What did you say about kind, Lori? What was that?
I
you frisky today, okay? All right. Well, that concludes this week's episode. Thank you so much for listening, and don't let the muggles get you down.
Amazing. Chocolate, my boys.
Another hour and 15 minutes on a third of a chapter. Thanks, Mia. I'm sorry. Thank you. I appreciate you.
Just wanted to feel included. Always included, Mia. You
ready? Sorry.
Yeah, you're good. I'm good.
Should I stop recording? Okay.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.